I would like just for a few moments to draw your attention to that passage that we read from John chapter 17. And this 17th chapter of John, as I have said already, is a great chapter, and it was a precious portion of scripture for our sister Anne. Here we have in this chapter the Lord Jesus about to head up to the cross, about to give his life a ransom for his people. He is about to bleed and to die. He knows all that is before him. And we find in the 17th chapter of John that he prays to his Father. And here in this 17th chapter we have an insight into the relationship between the Godhead, Father, Son and Spirit. And we have here the ground and the basis of our faith if we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And so for Anne, this would have been a great chapter of assurance. This would have shown her that her salvation was not rooted in what she thought or how she acted, but it was rooted and grounded in God himself. And so it brought her great comfort. And so I want us to look at verses 2 and 3. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I want us to consider, firstly, from verse 2, the mission of the Lord Jesus. Verse 2 makes it very clear that Jesus has come with the purpose of giving eternal life. In another passage, the disciples, they would be asked the question by Jesus himself when everybody abandoned him. And he would say to them, are you going to go as well? And they said, to whom else can we go? For thou alone hast the words of eternal life. In John chapter 14, we have Jesus saying that he is the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And so we have this great mission of Christ is to give eternal life. He has come to give to his people those words of great hope, those words of great blessing. And perhaps the most famous verse in the whole of the Bible, John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what Jesus has come to do, to give eternal life. Many people today would say that Jesus has come to give us a good example, that he has come to do good, and yes, he has done those things. But his work, his ministry was not confined to that. He had a greater purpose, he had a greater mission, and that was to bring that eternal life. When we read the Bible, we will discover right in the very beginning that God created the heaven and the earth. He made it perfect. He would describe it as being very good. And we know that death in the beginning was not a natural thing. And yet when we look around us, we see death and pain, suffering, sorrow. And all these things have come about because of the fall of man into sin. And although it is all around us, when death comes, it is always unwelcome. When death comes, it is always with a sense of apprehension. And when death comes, it is always with a degree of unexpectedness. Death is not natural. Death is not how we were made. Death is not part of how man was first created. And that is why we see all around us, as a result of sin, sorrow and suffering, pain, disease and trials, and ultimately death. We have an appointment that each one of us has to keep. We have an appointment when we will have to face God as judge. And we do not know when that date or that time will be. But the scriptures make it very clear for us to prepare to meet thy God. In the scriptures, we are exhorted to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. And in another place, we are told today is a day of salvation. These things are not to be put off until a more convenient time. These things are not to be left until our final moment, because we do not know when that will be for us. For Anne, she lived a good and a long life, 84 years of age when she died. But for others, it may be much shorter. But for Anne, whenever death would come, she had that confidence. She had that hope. She had that assurance that when she passed from this life into the next, that she would be with her Saviour, that she would be with him forever. And we know that the scriptures say so clearly, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And although we come to commit Anne's mortal remains to the grave, we know that her soul, her spirit, is in the presence of God, praising him, adoring him, proclaiming his goodness for all eternity, waiting that day when body and soul will be reunited once again. Anne was ready to meet her Creator. Anne was ready to meet her Judge. Is this the same for you this morning? Are you ready to meet God? Whether you are young or whether you are old, are you ready to stand before God, your Judge? Anne knew that she could face death because she knew Christ. She knew the Lord Jesus as that faithful, unchangeable friend. That one that she would praise, that one that she would adore, that one that she could trust for eternity and for all things. And that short hymn that we sang just a moment ago is a good summary of the Christian testimony of our dear sister. Throughout the trials that Anne faced, in particular Natalie with the motor neuron disease, she faced it with dignity, she faced it with patience, she faced it looking unto the Lord. I remember visiting her not long after she had gone into Furlorn's, and I asked her whether she had any specific prayer requests. She wasn't able to verbally communicate at that point, and so she would write down things. But what she wrote down was very insightful, because what she wrote down was this, that her mobility would be such that she should be able to still come out to church, and that she might bear a good testimony for Jesus Christ in the home where she was. And I believe both those requests were answered. It was only a week before she passed into glory that she was still being brought by Michael with a wheelchair taxi into the house of God week by week. And we know, as we would sing the hymns, and I remember on one occasion we were singing concerning the glorious resurrection of Christ, her face would light up as she thought and as she read and as she considered the great hope that was before her. I never heard her complain. I never saw any apparent bitterness. But I saw a lady that was adorned with the grace of God. She knew that she had eternal life because of what Jesus had come to do, that great mission of the Saviour. Secondly, we notice that the Lord has come with that mission of giving eternal life, and we notice how it is a gift. Our text shows to us that there is no purchasing on our part. There is no ability for ourselves to contribute or add anything to it. It doesn't come through effort. It doesn't come through any kind of merit. It comes by that way of a gift. We call it grace. That undeserved riches of God. Grace is receiving something that we do not deserve. And when we think about this eternal life, it comes because of God's free and gracious gift. in the Old Testament, in the prophet Isaiah, he would say to the people there, come, buy without money and without price. And we say that sounds strange. How can you buy something if it doesn't have a value, if you're not able to pay it with monetary things? But this is what the gospel is. This is what this eternal life is all about. Buying something so valuable without money, without price, given by Christ. And how wonderful that is. But more than that, this gift is given to those who do not deserve it. Undeserved. When we consider the salvation of God, it is utterly undeserved. How we deserve the punishment for our sins, how we deserve God's judgment for our rebellions, how we deserve to be cut off because of the breaking of God's law. We sin in thought, we sin in word, we sin in deed, we sin by doing those things we ought not to do, we sin doing those things that we ought to do and fail to do. Yet the gospel gives eternal life by this free grace of God. And we have heard this morning what a good wife Anne was, what a good mother she was, what a good grandmother she was, and a wonderful church member she was, and we can think about what a lovely lady she was. Yet for Anne, she did not merit or earn this salvation. She didn't come as one that deserves it. She received eternal life because it was given to her by Christ, and she believed and she trusted on him. And as she had freely received, so she would freely give. And this grace of God motivated her in her Christian service. And many of you will know better than I do the times that she has served the Lord in this place, and the way in which she was part of the ladies' meeting, would lead that in Sunday school, how she would have a keen interest in mission, and how she was concerned for the ongoing work of the gospel here in Devizes. As she had received, so she gave. And this salvation is all of the grace of God. But whilst we have said how Anne and all those that believe on Christ freely receive this gift of God, this salvation of Jesus, yet at the same time we must remember the great cost it was to the Son of God. How it cost Jesus himself. Jesus is praying here in chapter 17, moments before he would go up to Jerusalem, moments before he would die on that cross. Although the salvation comes to us freely, without price, without charge, to him it cost all. To him it required him giving of his life. He would live the life that we could not live, and he would die that death that we deserve, so that we may inherit the eternal life that was only his to give. When we consider all of our sin, every dirty detail of it, the child of God can have that hope, that can have that confidence, that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for all those sins. They are forgiven, they are washed away, they are cleansed. Christ has endured the hell that we deserve. Or we could meditate upon the scourging, we could meditate upon the pierced hands and feet, we could think about the crown of thorns, we could think about the way in which Christ would suffer and hang upon that cross. Yet that's only part of his suffering, that was only part of the payment required to save a soul from hell, to give it eternal life. Or we would know those periods of darkness, the Lord would suffer there alone and be forsaken of the Father, but at the end he would cry, "It is finished. The debt has been paid. The penalty has been satisfied. Nothing more to contribute." And so for Anne and for all those that trust in Christ, sin has been dealt with and they're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Gone are the sins, buried in the depths of the seas, removed as far as the east is from the west. And so for Anne, and for all the blood-bought, redeemed people of God, the theme of heaven will be this, worshipping the Lamb that was slain. Dear friends, consider the cost of salvation. Consider what Jesus has done. This theme thrilled the heart of Anne, and it will be her theme for all eternity. But as we come to a close, in verse 3, we see the end result. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is knowing God. Not just a head knowledge, not just an assent that God exists. Even the devils believe this. Eternal life is to know God. It is being brought into living relationship with him. It is knowing that deepest and closest union with God, the maker of heaven and earth. That is eternal life. To be with him, to love him, to be loved by him. Union with Christ brings fellowship with God. When we think about how sin separates, or we are thinking here this morning how that body and soul have been rent apart, but in Christ all things are made new. What sin divides, Christ unites, and there is no separation from God any longer for our dear sister. For Anne and for all who love and trust in Christ, there is that prospect that they shall be forever with the Lord. And there is a day coming when body and soul on that great day of resurrection will be reunited. Anne will not have that body that has been corrupted and racked by age and disease, but one that has been made glorious. One that is able to function, one that is able to give God all the glory. And as Anne passed through many fiery trials, as she went through that shadow of the valley of death, she entered into glory, and the first thing that would happen to her was that God would wipe away all tears from her eyes. Why would that be the case? Because in heaven there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Jesus says, "Behold, I make all things new." For Anne, this is her present condition, in the presence of her Saviour and her God. Dear friends, this is not the case for everyone. All that die without Christ, all that die without that salvation. We read the last verse of chapter 20 of Revelation, "Whosoever shall not be found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Dear friends, do you have a Saviour that will save you from that wrath to come? We have in that scripture that exhortation, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Let me leave you with one last thought. Anne would not want glory attributed to her. She would not want you to leave this place without knowing, like she did, the Saviour that she loved and served for so many years, and knowing that she would be with her Saviour for all eternity. It is to God be the glory, great things he hath done. Our prayers and our thoughts with the family. May God uphold you. May God strengthen you. And may you draw comfort that the Lord has done great things in the life of Anne. And the Lord has kept, the Lord has been with her. And now she is with him forever. May we, like Anne, know the Lord and have received this eternal life. Amen. We are going to close by singing the last hymn on our order of service. The first line should read, "Forever with the Lord, amen, so let it be. Life from the dead is in that word, 'tis immortality. Here in the body pent, absent from him I roam, yet nightly pitch my moving tent a day's march nearer home." Let's stand to sing "Forever with the Lord."